हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 61, chapter 79. Lord Balaram goes on pilgrimage. Pratigya, people's illegal desires are checked by the laws of nature or the laws of God, appearing as famine, war, pestilence, and similar catastrophes. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Lord Baladev satisfied the Brahmins by killing Balvala, bathed at various holy pilgrimage sites, and attempted to dissuade Bhimasena and Duryodhana from fighting. At the sacrificial arena of the sages at Naimisharanya Forest, a harsh wind began to blow on the new moon day, spreading the obnoxious smell of pus and obscuring everything with dust. The demon Balvala then appeared there with a trident in his hand, his massive body pitch black and his face very frightening. Lord Baladev caught the demon with his plow and then struck him a ferocious blow on the head with his club, killing him. The sages chanted Lord Baladev's glories and presented him with lavish gifts. Lord Balaram then began his pilgrimage, during which he visited many holy tirthas. When he heard news of the battle between the Kurus and Pandavas, the Lord went to Kurukshetra to try to stop the duel between Bhima and Duryodhana, but he could not dissuade them from fighting. So deep was their enmity. Understanding that the fight was the arrangement of fate, Lord Baladev left the battlefield and returned to Dwarka. Sometime later, Balaram again went to the Naimisharanya forest, where the sages performed a number of fire sacrifices on his behalf. Lord Baladev reciprocated by granting the sages transcendental knowledge and revealing to them his eternal identity. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses 1 to 8. Lord Balaram kills the demon Balvala, 9 to 21. Lord Balaram goes on pilgrimage, 22 to 34. Lord Balaram returns to Dwarka. Verses 1 to 8. Lord Balaram kills the demon Balvala. Sukadev Goswami said, "Then, on the new moon day, O king, a fierce and frightening wind arose, scattering dust all about and spreading the smell of pus everywhere. Next, into the sacrificial arena came a downpour of abominable things sent by Balvala, after which the demon himself appeared, trident in hand. The immense demon resembled a mass of black carbon. His top knot and beard were like molten copper, and his face had horrible fangs and furrowed eyebrows. Upon seeing him, Lord Balaram thought of his club, which tears to pieces his enemy's armies, and his plow weapon, which punishes the demons. Thus summoned, his two weapons appeared before him at once. With the tip of his plow, Lord Balaram caught hold of the demon Balvala as he flew through the sky, and with his club, the Lord angrily struck the harasser of Brahmanas on the head. Balvala cried out in agony and fell to the ground. His forehead cracked open in gushing blood. He resembled a red mountain struck by a lightning bolt. Footnote 27. The example of lightning is given to indicate that with just one blow, the demon with a huge body fell over. When a mountain is struck by lightning, red minerals gush from the mountain like blood. The demon fell over with a loud noise. Srila Jiva Goswami. Yeah. We see here he didn't spend much time fighting with this demon. He's very uncultured and everything. So no need to bother. You know, it means more sophisticated than you can have a nice fight, but he's just very gross. So you just catch him and kill him. The exalted sages honored Lord Rama with sincere prayers and awarded him infallible blessings. Then they performed his ritual bath, just as the demigods had formerly bathed Indra when he killed Vritta. They gave Lord Balaram a Vaijayanti garland of unfading lotuses in which resided the goddess of fortune. And they also gave him a set of divine garments and jewelry. 9-21, Lord Balaram goes on pilgrimage. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Then, given leave by the sages, the Lord went with a contingent of brahmanas to the Kaushiki River, where he bathed. From there he went to the lake from which flows the river Sarayu. The Lord followed the course of the Sarayu until he came to Prayag, where he bathed and then performed rituals to propitiate the demigods and other living beings. Next he went to the ashram of Pulaha Rishi. Lord Balaram bathed in the Gomati, Gandaki, and Vipasha rivers. He also immersed himself in the Shona. He went to Gaya, where he worshipped his forefathers, and to the mouth of the Ganges, where he performed purifying oblations. At Mount Mahendri, he saw Lord Parasaram and offered him prayers. And then he bathed in the seven branches of the Godavari River, and also in the rivers Vena, Pampa, and Bhimarati. Then Lord Balaram met Lord Skanda and visited Sri Shaila, the abode of Lord Girisha. So you see is where he was there the area. Then he came across the northern part of India, then all the holy places there, and all the way up, even up to Nepal and that kind of area, and all the way down, till he gets down to the Bay of Bengal. And then getting from there, then he starts going down towards south. So you're going around India in a clockwise. You see all the Arjuna, when he went around, it's also the same form. In the southern provinces known as Dravida Desha, the Supreme Lord saw the sacred hill, the sacred Venkata Hill, as well as the cities of Kamakoshni and Kanchi. The exalted, so on Venkata, that will be Tirupati. Kanchi, the exalted Kaveri River, and the most holy Sri Ranga, where Lord Krishna has manifested himself. From there he went to Rishabha Mountain, where Lord Krishna also lives, and to the southern Mathura. Then he came to Setabandhu, where the most grievous sins are destroyed. So that's where the bridge was built, so down at Rameshwaram. The BBT purport states, usually one goes to Gaya to worship deceased forefathers, but as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, although Lord Balaram's father and grandfather were still alive, it was on his father's order that he carefully worship his forefathers at Gaya, drawing insight. So generally you just worship back to father and grandfather. But here then his elders have asked him to worship before that. You know, all the great personalities in the line. Drawing insight from the Vaishnava Toshani, the Acharya further explains that although Lord Balaram was in the immediate proximity of Jagannath Puri, he did not go there since he wanted to avoid the embarrassment of having to worship himself among the forms of Sri Krishna, Balabhadra, and Subhadra. Right? Because the other ones, and you see, he's seeing as Krishna's here. But there's Balaram, it's Balaram and Dwarka, and he's Balaram and Dwarka, so yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued. There at Setabandha, Rameshwara, Lord Halayudha gave brahmanas 10,000 cows in charity. Footnote 28. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, it is the Vedic custom that when a rich visitor goes to any place of pilgrimage, he gives the local priests houses, cows, ornaments, and garments as gifts of charity. This system of visiting places of pilgrimage and providing the local brahmana priests with all necessities of life has greatly deteriorated in this age of Kali. The richer section of the population, because of its degradation in Vedic culture, is no longer attracted by these places of pilgrimage. And the Brahmin priests who depend on such visitors have also deteriorated in their professional duty of helping the visitors. Like, before you had, you still have the dharmshalas, but they were dharmshalas established by, very wealthy persons or kings. And they were dharmshalas for people of that area, like where the king was from or that wherever they were from. The dharmshalas for those people, because at the dharmshala, the people would speak their language, or they would have their food and everything like that. So technically, you could just come and stay there for free. Like, so if, let's say you had a dharmshala from Bengal, you came there, then you got rice, and they spoke Bengali and everything, and then you went out on pilgrimage and all that, and you could come back there. So Puri had so many of these before. So this is just that aspect of rich people would establish such things or given charity or range, but nowadays you don't see these things are going on so much.
In Rishikesh, we find that there are many different dharmashalas where it is free of charge. We are given accommodation.
Yes, but that's there. And people, so it's the same. Yes, yeah, same principle. Just it's not as specific. Mm-hmm. We're just saying in Puri that it's according to region. Well, there it's that anybody can stay. Mm-hmm. But the principle is there. It's that wealthy persons would support such places so that common person, and then when they would go, then they would do things, and they invite the priests, they'd give in charity to the priests, and so many nice things would go on. But now they're more interested in, other things, so these things don't happen so much.
So hotels are degraded dharmashalas.
Yeah, many of the dharmashalas have become, hotels or like that. Yeah, restaurants. Different things like that. I mean, pictures before, they had all the facilities. So probably upstairs is guest facility, downstairs is restaurant. But before, all that was free. Because people would come there to go on pilgrimage. They weren't looking for a free place to stay. They don't come and live there and then be there for the rest of their lives. They would come there, do the thing, and then go. These Brahmana priests in the places of pilgrimage are called panda or pandita. This means that they were formerly very learned Brahmanas and used to guide the visitors in all details of the purpose of coming there. And thus both the visitors and the priests benefited by mutual cooperation. So the priests would take them around, see that they knew all the place, tell all the stories, see that they got engaged in all the various wonderful activities you could be engaged in the place, and you got prasad, and they would do everything. They would rape. And then the visitors themselves, then they would take care and do all nice things for the priests. So in this way, they both were benefited. It is clear from the description of Srimad Bhagavatam that when Lord Balaram was visiting the different places of pilgrimage, he properly followed the Vedic system.
When it is said here that he gave many cows in charity, so how did he get the cows?
They either arrange them along the way, or they bring them with them, or it's like when Arjuna went with all the priests and everything, went on pilgrimage. They took a huge amount of stuff with them, so it's just like we say the king went here, or Krishna went to Hastinapur. You only hear about Krishna, Balaram, you hear about his queens, you hear about major persons. But their whole entourage is there. So they're going with, hundreds of thousands of people. But you don't hear about it. So it's not that it's necessarily that he's just by himself.
Yes.
Like that.
Because he gave to each pilgrimage, more or less.
Yes. That's
always big quantity.
Yeah, so then somehow or another it's arranged,
Airlifted.
Sorry?
Airlifted.
Yeah, they have, I say, every pilgrimage site, one of those beluga jets flies in, offloads 10,000 cows. The unknown, the non-advertised purpose of beluga jets. Right?
Yeah, that local king also can give as a tax or something.
Yeah, like that, or just people will give. It's one of those. It'll work out. You don't have to worry about that. I mean, unless you're planning to go to there and give 10,000 cows, you want to know how it's done and that done? Yeah. Okay. Then we'll look in Mahabharata. Maybe we'll get some answers. He then visited the Kritamala and Tamraparni rivers and the great Malaya mountains. In the Malaya range, Lord Balaram found Agastya Rishi sitting in meditation. After bowing down to the sage, the Lord offered him prayers and then received blessings from him. Taking a leave from Agastya, he proceeded to the shore of the southern ocean, where he saw Goddess Durga in her form of Kanyakumari. Next, he went to Falguna Tirtha and bathed at the sacred Panchapsara Lake, where Lord Vishnu had directly manifested himself. At this place, he gave away another 10,000 cows. What's going on here? The Supreme Lord then traveled through the kingdoms of Kerala and Trigarta before visiting Lord Shiva's sacred city of Gokarna, where Lord Durjati, Shiva, directly manifests himself. Also, after visiting Goddess Parvati, who dwells on an island, Lord Balaram went to the holy district of Suparna and bathed in the Tapi, Payoshni, and near Vindhya rivers. He next entered the Danda forest and went to the river Reva, along which the city of Mahishmati is founded. Then he bathed at Manu Tirtha and finally returned to Prabhas. Verses 22 to 34. Lord Balaram returns to Dwarka. Sukadeva Goswami continued. The Lord heard from some Brahmanas how all the kings involved in the battle between the Kurus and Pandavas had been killed. From this, he concluded that the earth was now relieved of her burden. Footnote 29. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "This is the way of materialistic life. Not being satisfied by the absolute necessities of life, people ambitiously create extra demands, and their illegal desires are checked by the laws of nature, or the laws of God, appearing as famine, war, pestilence, and similar catastrophes." Okay, so when one's material desires increase too much beyond what's necessary, then they're checked by natural disaster. That's just how it works. Right? So you don't have to worry. You know, people are talking about overpopulation. You don't have to worry like that. Because people are materialistic, therefore it's a problem. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just like you see people, you know, in one sense more pious. And the population is growing quite quickly. But then they start becoming less pious, and then it doesn't really. Many countries, their population is the same now as it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, like that. It slowly increases or like that. It doesn't really get anywhere.
It increases because people from other countries are coming.
Yes, now it increases because of that one. Yes, yes. And the amazing thing is where they came from, it's not decreasing. It still has the same amount of people. Wanting to stop the club fight then raging between Bhima and Duryodhana on the battlefield, Lord Balaram went to Kurukshetra. When Yudhishthira, Lord Krishna, Arjuna, and the twin brothers Nakula and Sahadev saw Lord Balaram, they offered him respectful obeisances, but said nothing, thinking, "What has he come here to tell us?" Like, they've just been having this big yawn. Why did he come now? He was on pilgrimage. The BBT purport states, "The reason they were silent was that Lord Balaram was somewhat affectionate towards Duryodhana, who had learned from Balaramji the art of fighting with a club. Thus, when the fighting was going on, King Yudhishthira and the others thought that Balaram might have come here to say something in favor of Duryodhana, and therefore they remained silent." Srila Jiva Goswami explains, "Krishna and Arjuna welcomed Balaram last, as mentioned in the verse, since they were ashamed because of being the two main Kshatriyas left when all the other Kshatriyas and friends were killed in the war. They wondered, what has Balaram come and what does he want to say? Does he want to point out faults or good points?" They were silent, unable to say anything. So they were just waiting to see what his response is. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. But, you know, they're interactive and do the proper etiquette. It's just that you don't get into much of a conversation. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Lord Balaram found Duryodhana and Bhima with clubs in their hands, each furiously striving for victory over the other as they circled about skillfully. The Lord addressed them as follows. Lord Balaram said, King Duryodhana and Bhima, listen, you two warriors are equal in fighting prowess. I know that one of you has greater physical power, while the other is better trained in technique. Footnote 30. Both of you are equal in ability to fight and have great determination. Virao, O king, he addresses Duryodhana with great respect, out of affection for him as a disciple. Therefore he addresses him first, or, in giving up fighting, you save your life and can enjoy the kingdom. Or he describes Duryodhana's evil nature of desiring to be king, in order to make him accept his words. I think Bhima has greater strength than you, but Uta, you have greater knowledge in using the club since I personally taught you. Or, Bhima is more than my life. I have most affection for him, though I have given greater instruction to Duryodhana. Seeing the two now, I realize this more than before. Srila Jiva Goswami. And so, yeah. So he's saying is that they're equally matched. One's stronger, but one knows a little bit finer the technique. So the two won't be able to defeat each other. Mm-hmm. But he's also seeing in this, he has greater affection for Bhima than for Duryodhana. Because of his devotion and everything like that. Because one, he has the devotion for him, but not for the devotees. While Bhima then has both. He's the properly situated devotee. Since you are evenly matched in fighting prowess, I do not see how either of you can win or lose this duel. Right? So he doesn't have to win, but also you won't lose. So then that aspect of respect. Therefore, please stop this useless battle. Sukadev Goswami continued. They did not accept Lord Balaram's request, O king, although it was logical, for their mutual enmity was irrevocable. Each of them constantly remembered the insults and injuries he had suffered from the other. Concluding that the battle was the arrangement of fate, Lord Balaram went back to Dwarka. There he was greeted by Ugrasena and his other relatives, who were delighted to see him. Footnote 31. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti explains that the word dishtam, fate, indicates that the battle between Bhima and Duryodhana had been enjoined by Lord Krishna and set into motion by him. Right? Mm-hmm. So in this case, he's the servitor supreme personality of Godhead. Mm-hmm. So because Krishna desired that this fight happen, so he mentioned it should have an effect. So him, through his yoga maya, it's not working. So if he does something and it doesn't work, that means Krishna's doing it. So that means then you just leave it to fate, which means to Krishna. You know, just like when we say something's left to fate, that means how the laws of Krishna are going to unfold according to our activities. Mm-hmm. Like that. So according to their activities, then it will unfold by Krishna's, authority. So. Lord Balaram returned to Naimisha, where the sages joyfully engaged him, the embodiment of all sacrifice, in performing various kinds of Vedic sacrifice. Lord Balaram was now retired from warfare. Because he didn't do anything, so now he's officially retired. It's like when the king goes into Vanaprastha or that kind of thing, then he doesn't get involved in war. Because fighting and all that, that's the Grihasthas, that's their occupation. But Vanaprastas, they don't technically have an occupation anymore. It may be from whatever background they are, and so that may have some little bit of flavor, but the position is now about their own sadhana and development and all that kind of aspect. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, when Lord Balaram went to the holy place of pilgrimage at Naimisharanya, the sages, saintly persons, and brahmanas all stood up to receive him. They understood that Lord Balaram, although a kshatriya, was now retired from the fighting business. The brahmanas and the sages, who were always for peace and tranquility, were very pleased at this. Right? Because why? That means it's not that the fighting is bad, it's just that if it's necessary, it's used, but if it's not necessary, it's not used. But unfortunately, we see like Duryodhana and others, then they unnecessarily use it. So that there's the progression where someone's given up this thing because of their personal development, then that's always a good thing. Not that they're pacifists, that there shouldn't be any fighting. It's just that it should only be done as a matter of duty, you know, if it's necessary. And so if you've come to that point there, that means you've gone through whatever you've gone through, and now you've come to the point of retiring from that. There'd be others to take. If it's needed to be done, someone else is there. You don't have to worry about that. Like that. All of them embraced Balaram with great affection and induced him to perform various kinds of sacrifices in that sacred spot of Nainisharanya. Actually, Lord Balaram had no business performing the sacrifices recommended for ordinary human beings. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he himself is the enjoyer of all such sacrifices. Right? Because it'll be indirect here. Because everything that's manifest is Balaram, but because it's indirect, it's not connected with him as the particular personality of Bhagavan. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's why it's not a problem. He's worshiped by doing the yajna, the sacrifices for Vishnu, and technically he's Vishnu. Mm-hmm. Right? But because in here, then as you expand, then Krishna is Vasudeva, and then he's Sankarshan. Mm-hmm. So then basically you'll be technically worshiping Vasudeva. Mm-hmm. So he'll see like that, but technically all this is all him. It's all expanding from Mahanarayan. But it has that different flavor. Well, if he goes to the Puri temple, Balaram there is him in Dwarka, so he's worshiping himself directly. So that's why he avoided that, but these others he doesn't have to avoid. Because they're different flavors, so it doesn't disturb the mood. As such, his exemplary action in performing sacrifices was only to give a lesson to the common man, to show how one should abide by the injunctions of the Vedas. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "The all-powerful Lord Balaram bestowed upon the sages pure spiritual knowledge, by which they could see the whole universe within him. And also see him pervading everything." Right, so he's pervading everything, but everything's within him. So that seeming contradictory thing that they're able to see that, then they're actually able to see what his position is. But that's his position. Right? Then you have his activities, and you have his relationships, and the tastes that are there. But this is his situation, who he is. After executing with his wife the Avavrita ablutions, the beautifully dressed and ornamented Lord Balaram, encircled by his immediate family and other relatives and friends, looked as splendid as the moon surrounded by its effulgent rays. Right, so now you get the understanding that Vanaprastha, he would be doing this because now the immediate family and friends are there. And so then he's going out doing these things. So then it's about this retired life. Okay, he looked as splendid as the moon surrounded by its effulgent rays. Countless other such pastimes were performed by Almighty Balaram, the unlimited and immeasurable Supreme Lord. Right. Yeah, unlimited, unmeasurable. I guess that's also the all-pervading and how the universe is within him. Because immeasurable is everything's within him, but unlimited means he's in everything. Right. So, okay. Countless other such pastimes were performed by mighty Balaram, the unlimited and immeasurable Supreme Lord, whose mystic Yogamaya power makes him appear to be a human being. All the activities of the unlimited Lord Balaram are amazing. Anyone who regularly remembers them at dawn and dusk will become very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vishnu. Okay, so, in other words, for Krishna, then remembering Balaram, then that's very, he appreciates that. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, "One should not think that glorifying his activities is exaggeration, for they give great results directly. The person who remembers in his mind constantly Balaram's activities in the morning and evening becomes the object of mercy of Krishna." Not Balaram's necessarily morning and evening activities, but remembering in the morning and activity, evening, Krishna, Balaram's activities. Okay. The person who remembers in his mind constantly Balaram's activities in the morning and evening becomes the object of mercy of Krishna, who pervades the universe by his appearance in unlimited spiritual forms, or who entered Balaram out of great affection. The mercy arises because Balaram gives pleasure to his devotees. It is said that Balaram had some opposition to Krishna because he gave mercy to Duryodhana, the enemy of the Pandavas, who were dear to Krishna. Balaram's actions were astonishing. He increased Duryodhana's pride, which is the cause of his death. When the Pandavas killed him, they attained great fame. This is because Balaram's heart was most profound and inscrutable. Right? So by him directing Duryodhana, then it caused his death and the glorification of the Pandavas, who are Krishna's devotees. Right? So therefore it appeared that it's contradictory, but if you look at the bigger picture, it's not. It was in support of that worship of Krishna, but it is creating the environment in which Krishna can destroy the demons and protect the devotees. So then here, then Krishna and the devotees become glorious and all the kings get removed. So we see is that he didn't think anything of all the kings being destroyed in the battle, because when Duryodhana and Bhima are fighting, that means everybody's gone. That's all that's left is, you know, who's standing there watching that fight is all there is left. So we have the Pandavas, we have Duryodhana, and there's a handful of others. That's it. You know? So, yes.
Our main object of worship is Krishna. And then once the devotee asks that why we don't worship Balaram on as his own personality of Godhead, because he has all the features, all the pastimes.
Yeah.
Is there like sampradaya worshiping Balaram or?
The Shris? You know, they're following him, so. What is the position of Krishna Balaram?
He's serving the Krishna.
Yes. The point is that Krishna is enjoying with his Ladini Shakti. So that means, you know, in other words, Krishna's desires in relationship to his Ladini Shakti. Therefore, the Samvit and Sandini, you know, and the Jnana and Kriya Shaktis, they're supporting that position. So Balaram's taking care of that. So what would be this worship of Balaram if you understand this? It would be in relation to Krishna. But on his own, you wouldn't see that so much. Because the point is Balaram's, because if you're taking Balaram on his own, where he's the main man, then you're dropping down from that position. We're thinking, oh, we're just doing this other elevated position. But no, then you're worshiping Mahanarayan. Because then Balaram is Mahanarayan. Though he has the features of Sankarshan Prajumni Anu Vasudeva Aniruddha. Right? But it's Balaram who's doing that. So in other words, all pastime, all realms, pastimes, everything that's going out on outside of Braj is technically Balaram. If you get into that aspect. So then making him in that prominent position, then that means you're a devotee in that line of that. So Krishna's not your main deity.
Yeah.
So why would you want to do that? You know what I'm saying? Is that would be our as it means you can do, but why would you want to do? Because if Balaram's worshiping Krishna and the opportunity to be given for that, that's the whole point. It's not like Shiva that is worshiping Shankarshan and he's satisfied there. Because that's their relationship. But we're being given the opportunity to enter into the Vrindavan pastimes with Krishna as the focal point. So why not take that? If someone that, you know, is committed to Balaram, that's fine. But it just wouldn't be a general thing that we do. Because we have. You can say, why don't we have? But we have Krishna and Balaram, we have Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, but it's all in relation to Krishna.
Yeah.
So that's the way it works.
Well, that was the question, like, why don't we worship him as a Purusha, as an enjoyer?
means he is, but he's a subservient enjoyer. So even if you do consider yourself a big guy, you're still a servant. So, because he can just be the, he's the big guy and he's the enjoyer. I'm the big guy, I can be the enjoyer. So no, he's still the servant. It's just different flavor. It's not that they don't all appreciate. The gopis all appreciate Balaram. It's like Krishna is so wonderful. He has such a great brother. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of strange that you have this guy you really like, but his brother's a real dweeb or something, you know? So it's kind of like, you know, yeah, great guy, but his brother, yeah, like that, you know? So, you know what I'm saying? So it all goes together nicely. There's no contradiction. There's no difficulty. So,
Maharaj, can you say that if we worship Krishna Balaram, it's complete in itself?
Krishna Balaram is complete, yes. It's complete in the way of tattva. But, and if you're, you know, into the cowherd boy mood,
yes,
then that would be the end game, because then everybody else would be receiving, you know, means the elder gopis and, you know, Nanda Baba, they're the parents of your friend, and
yes,
the gopis are his girlfriends, but
yes,
he'd be the central. But for us, Radha Krishna is the main, and Krishna Balaram is part of that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the sense? Yeah. But, you know, they're there, Gorni Thai, so they're there. So we worship them, but they're always together.
When we have Gorni Thai and Krishna Balaram, the same temple, this
right,
means that it is there is importance on
the importance is on when you have Krishna Balaram and Gorni Thai, then the importance is on that it's Krishna Balaram or Gorni Thai.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's the aspect you're bringing up.
Yes.
Like that. Like when you have Lord Chaitanya and Radha Krishna, then that means as Krishna's come as Radharani in that mood, so therefore you have Lord Chaitanya.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different mood. You understand? That's bringing out a different aspect. Or Krishna, Radha Krishna, then that aspect, or Radha Krishna, Lalita Vishaka brings out that.
Yes. Yes.
You know. So it's just different features. And so these are within our line or approach that they don't have any. They would be standard that we would maintain these. So that if we go around and on pilgrimage and see all Krishna in his different manifestations, it's not a problem. Because
yes,
Krishna's come as Rangaji or, you know,
yes,
like that. So. Okay. This is because Balaram's heart was most profound and inscrutable. Or, on remembering the pastimes of Balaram, one becomes at all times the object of mercy of Krishna, who appears throughout the universe unlimitedly by manifesting unlimited forms. Because Krishna is pervading the whole universe through the aspect of Balaram.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if you're remembering the aspect of Balaram, then Krishna is pleased. But the point is our remembering Balaram reminds us of Krishna. But so that means if you're taking this to any position, that means anything that you see, then that is all a manifestation of, you know, connected with Krishna, Balaram and his energies. We see that in connection with Krishna, then we're seeing Balaram and Krishna together.
Quick technical question. In Balaram Vasulila, did he have his own separate
gopis? Yeah. Yeah, they're completely separate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that. They they don't mix. Because Krishna's gopis are then expansions of the Hladini Shakti. But Balaram's gopis will be Samvit and Sandini. Like that. So they're a different group. But Balaram's gopis are friends with Krishna. And Krishna's gopis are friends with Balaram. So they all have relationship, but it's different. Conclusion. People's illegal desires are checked by the laws of nature or the laws of God, appearing as famine, war, pestilence, and similar catastrophes. Right? It's just how it works. Right? In other words, if you wonder why these are going on, means somebody's doing something wrong. Okay, chapter 80. The Brahmana Sudama visits Lord Krishna in Dwarka, Pratigya. If a man is sufficiently educated in student life under the guidance of a proper teacher, his life becomes successful in the future. Chapter 80 summarizes questions and answers. Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami question 1040 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Question 1040. From 1081. King Parikshit asked, My Lord, O Master, I wish to hear about other valorous deeds performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, whose valor is unlimited. Right, so there's been stories going through now, and you've gotten to the end of the war, and these aspects. Balaram's retired, you know, Krishna's gone and saw the Brajbasis, wound up that pastime. And so now it's just, you know, if there's any other pastime. So they don't have to be chronologically set. It's just that now you've told this progression, now is there any other stories that are there? Sukadeva Goswami answers the question the rest of the 10th canto. Okay. Adhyaya Prakashika. So now the next 10 chapters will be doing that. And then you'll see at the end, the last one will be a summary of so many nice pastimes. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna worshipped his Brahmana friend Sudama, who came to his place seeking charity, and how the two of them discussed the pastimes they had shared while living in the home of their spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. The Brahmana Sudama, a personal friend of Lord Krishna's, was completely free of material desires. He maintained himself and his wife with whatever came of its own accord, and thus they were poverty stricken. Right. So this Amrita, that's one of the six kinds of occupations that one can perform. So Amrita means it's just whatever comes on its own accord. That's how you live. So it's not a main recommended occupation. Right? It means of the six, then Swavrita, that of the dog, that's not recommended for. That's only for Shudras. The other five can be used by the Dvijas. But we see is that the Amrita is not recommended in general. Because unless, basically speaking, only actually great realized souls or devotees can use it. So it's not something that could be used by just any Brahmin or anyone. So it's not, but we see Sudama Vipra, he's able to use that one. You know, it's whatever, because whatever you do will come to you. Right. Because it's generally, Amrita is used by someone who they're planning on leaving the world. Because whatever's coming from the past, that will come. You're not doing anything to generate anything for future. Does that make sense? So there's nothing for next life. So that's why someone who's in any of these other processes, they wouldn't use it. Because if you're going to be here in the material world, then you should get some good benefit in the next life. Does that make sense? So basically speaking, only devotees, they can use it. Right. Means you might see, you know, those who are on the liberated platform, they can use it, because then they'll merge in Brahman. But
yeah. So this implies his entire family is very, very highly educated because they're performing Amrita.
Well, they're performing because he's performing.
Yeah.
It's not that they're performing on their own. It means he's performing and they're going along with this. But that they can function, that means that they're also very elevated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that they necessarily have the determination to follow that. They have the determination to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Madhavendrapuri, the python sadhu. You know, you see, it's not that it's not done, but it's very rare that it's done. But you see those going begging or Rita, you know, where they just glean from the fields or the markets,
yes,
like that. So you see, is that's more the standard they would do. You know, begging is just the general thing of Brahmins. But those who would live by Rita, then that's you may end up with more or less from that. It's less stable. Like that. So, and so then that leaves you. Pramrita and Satyanrita. Yeah, so that's generally for the business persons. You know what I mean? So Pramrita will mean farming, and Satyanrita will mean trade, you know, business. One day, Sudama's wife, unable to find any food to prepare for her husband, went to him and asked that he visit his friend Krishna Dwarka and beg some charity. Sudama was reluctant, but when she persisted, he agreed to go, reflecting that an opportunity to see the Lord was extremely auspicious. You know, just like Yudhishthira, then that the opportunity to do the Rajasuya, then it means that it's an opportunity to see Krishna. That's the important element. Right?
Is it that it is some kind of a vow that they take of following Amrita or anything?
Is it a vow to follow Amrita? Generally, you would choose what your occupation is and stick to that. Mm-hmm. So in that way, it's a vow. That's why it's sacrifice. Okay. You know, that there's austerity, that because you have to stick to it no matter what happens. Yes. Yeah, but then it means they'd be basically just chanting or something. It means if someone gave you some books, you'd read them. They should be at the level of whatever they have, that's what they're going to use in Krishna's service. So it's not a general thing that's used. It means depending upon Krishna, performing your duties and depending upon Krishna, that's standard. So you have that aspect of the result being dependent on Krishna. It's just that you're not making that endeavor for maintenance. Right? So even those who are making the endeavor, they still have to depend on Krishna. Because they think it's because of my endeavor, that's why I got the result. That's not correct understanding of the philosophy. So, regarding
begging.
Rita.
So it is compared to like death. Losing death.
Because you can get insulted. People will, it means you go door to door to beg. It doesn't mean they're going to give anything. So you have to go up there, knock on the door face to face and like that, and then they deal. They may be judging, all these different things. So emotionally, it's like death. So that's why it makes you humble. That's why brahmacharis go out and beg. That's standard.
Yes.
They don't use any of the other processes. They beg. Right? Because it makes them humble. But as a grihastha, then they may choose whether vanaprastha, you know, what they'll use. So begging, they all can use. But then you'll see some of them don't. In vanaprastha, it's very common that they may use the ritta, the gleaning. Like that. Generally, grihasthas, they would use the begging. They could use that, but it's more rare. But vanaprasthas, that would be more of a standard. And then sannyas would be more the amrita. Because you don't need anything, so whatever comes, that's what you have. But generally, grihasthas wouldn't use it. Because right? It's technically it's the highest of them, but it's not the recommended one. Because if it's the highest, then people want for prestige in that, then are doing it. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like the politicians fasting, you know, and everybody's so in awe like that. And while they're resting, you know, between because of the weakness of the fasting and the strain of it, then they're, you know, eating some dokla on the side. You know, like that.
So according to the Varnas also, all these six activities are recommended.
Yeah, no, it's all there. That's why it's all... So means it's just... These would be normally how they go. So that he is performing at this, then he's very certain, because he's such a great devotee. So he knows Krishna will take care however he likes. So he could have so much or have nothing. It's up to Krishna. Okay. And so his wife, in performing her duty, she's requesting simply because of the difficulty for her husband, not for herself. Okay. His wife begged a few handfuls of flattened rice as a gift for Sri Krishna. And Sudama set off for Dwarka. Right, because it's something he could take with him. Because anything else wouldn't be. So flat rice is something that it won't go bad. You can tie it up, you can take it with you. And Sudama set off for Dwarka. As Sudama approached the palace of Lord Krishna's principal wife, Rukmini Devi, The Lord saw him from a distance. Krishna immediately rose from his seat on Rukmini's bed and embraced his friend with great joy. So you see here he's not going to the court. He's going to the palace where Krishna is staying with his queen. Right? So that means that he's on the bed, means he's on the inside of the house. So only Brahmins can walk into there. Everybody else, they have to wait in the formal area. Does that make sense? And they're old friends, so this and that. So you add all that up, then it works very nicely. Krishna immediately rose from his seat on Rukmini's bed and embraced his friend with great joy. Then he sat Sudama down on the bed, washed his feet with his own hands, and sprinkled the wash water on his head. After this, he presented him with various gifts and worshipped him with incense, lamps, and so on. Meanwhile, Rukmini fanned the shabbily dressed Brahmana with a yak tail whisk. All of this astonished the residents of the palace. Lord Krishna then took the hand of his friend, and the two of them reminisced about the things they had done together long ago while living in the school of their spiritual master. Sudama pointed out that Krishna engages in the pastime of acquiring education only to set an example for human society. Shloka Anusharana. Summary of verses 1 to 4. Maharaj Parikit inquires from Sukadeva Goswami. 5 to 17. Brahmana Sudama goes to Dwarka to meet the Lord. 18 to 45. The Lord happily receives Sudama and personally worships him. Verses 1 to 4. Maharaj Parikit inquires from Sukadeva Goswami. King Parikit said, "My Lord, O Master, I wish to hear about other valorous deeds performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, whose valor is unlimited." Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Thinking the story was finished, Parikit asked in longing to hear more. The last verse of the previous chapter mentioned that one becomes the object of the Lord's mercy. That mercy is developing taste. Having attained a special taste from hearing the story, Parikit asked for more. O omniscient Sukadeva, I desire to hear other powerful stories of the Lord who frees one from all suffering, Mukundasya, and who has the best nature, Mahatmanaha. The prayer expresses the imperative mood. This will not happen from hearing the glories of other persons, since Krishna alone has unlimited powers. I desire to hear only these topics, since they have such power. These stories are unlimited. Please tell all of them. You will live only 2 or 3 more days. How is it possible to fulfill that desire? You can give enough lifespan to me, since you are capable. He desires more satisfaction from the topics. Maharaj Parikit continued, O Brahmana, how could anyone who knows the essence of life and is disgusted with endeavoring for sense gratification give up the transcendental topics of Lord Uttama Shloka after hearing them repeatedly? Like once you, means mundane topics we've heard, but they don't give any satisfaction. But then having heard Krishna's pastimes, then one is able to, that once there was tasted that, then how could one give those up? Right? Because you're tasting various things, you mean you're engaged in various topics because of the taste. But once you hear about Krishna, the taste there, then is so much greater that therefore one would not want to give that up for other, you know, mundane topics. The BBT purport states, Yes. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti comments herein that we see many persons who, even after hearing the topics of the Lord repeatedly, give up their spiritual dedication. The Acharya replies that the word Visesha Gya is therefore significant here. Those who have actually understood the essence of life do not give up Krishna consciousness. A further qualification is to be Vishanna Kama Varjanaihi, disgusted with material sense gratification. These two qualities are complementary. The one who has experienced the real taste of Krishna consciousness automatically becomes disgusted with the inferior taste of material pleasure. Such a genuine hearer of the topics of Krishna cannot give up hearing about the Lord's fascinating pastimes. So if one sincerely wants to know about Krishna, then this is the effect that we'll have as we go through. Right? Just you know, step by step. That's a, that's the point, the opening verses in Bhagavatam point out, this, by that step by step, that gradual process. If you just keep doing that, then it will give this result. So the result of the Lord's mercy is taste. Not removing all the sins, this, that, or, you know, is that of taste. Because the point is sins are there, you're not steady. Then sins will become removed, you become steady. But it's by being in touch with the Lord and then getting His mercy that then you get taste. And then with taste, you give up all interest in all other things. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, in this statement, Maharaj Parikrit has used two important words, Vishanna and Vishesha Gya. Vishanna means morose. Materialistic people invent many ways and means to become fully satisfied. But actually, they remain morose. The point may be raised that sometimes transcendentalists also remain morose. Parikrit Maharaj, however, has used the word Vishesha Gya. There are two types of kinds of transcendentalists, namely the impersonalist and the personalist. Vishesha Gya refers to the personalists who are interested in transcendental variegatedness. The devotees become jubilant by hearing the descriptions of the personal activities of the Supreme Lord, whereas the impersonalists, who are actually more attracted by the impersonal feature of the Lord, are only superficially attracted by the Lord's personal activities. As such, in spite of coming in contact with the pastimes of the Lord, the impersonalists do not fully realize the benefit to be derived. Right? They've come in contact, but they don't understand what benefit they can get. Because their thinking is that it's just one of the activities of goodness that will situate one in Brahman realization. They don't understand is, no, this will take you to the transcendental platform beyond liberation. As such, in spite of coming in contact with the pastimes of the Lord, the impersonalists do not fully realize the benefit to be derived. And thus, they become just as morose as the materialists do in pursuing their fruitive activities. Right? Because not being in contact with the Lord, that's the cause of moroseness. So, whether you're a karmi or a jnani, you'll be just as morose. That's just the way it works. So, it's not that jnanis are less morose, they're just as materialistic. Just that they're not finding that materialism through karma, they're finding it through jnana. Is that?
Now, if we as devotees, we have no contact with the Lord as a person, we can become morose.
If we are,
if we are our aspiring devotee who are not in contact with the Lord as a person, we can become morose.
We can.
We can.
I don't get the connection.
We can become morose. We can become morose.
Oh, can become morose. I thought you said he can become guru. I'm thinking, what has this got to do with this? He's not absorbed in Krishna and all that, so he can become guru. Okay, that's an interesting, okay, is it? Confidently made statement. Okay, he can become morose, yes. Because point is, as much as you're in contact with material energy, you'll be morose. And as much as you're in contact with Krishna, then you'll be in bliss. So it's just a matter of, so if we're feeling morose, just then we have to figure out where it is that we're not thinking of Krishna.
Yes.
But for the devotee, because it's progressive, that moroseness will become less and less. Mm-hmm. It may appear to be so much because we're just used to it or conditioned by it, but in reality it's becoming less. You know? Is that, you know, yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveka Bhaktivinda ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaura Premanandi.